Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only weekly radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, sales, and customer relations. Nationwide, advertisers spend more than $300 billion per year. How are you planning to spend your advertising dollars? Stay with us for 2 hours of entertaining marketing discussion and our special industry guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
Back with you here on CBS Infinity's Business Radio 650 in Houston and globally at theadvertisingshow.com, live on the web. It's Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth. The Advertising Show is being brought to you today by the Houston Business Journal, Strictly Houston, Strictly Business, and by Zoito, The Future of Fulfillment. This is a big radio midgets production, by the way. A special guest today is Alyssa Quart. Alyssa is a graduate of Brown University. She's also the author of a really interesting book. It's called Branded, The Buying and Selling of Teenagers. Okay, and this is not what you think.
Is that overseas or locally?
No,
it's brand. I got you. Never mind.
Well, you say branded in Texas, and like that's
well, you say that
totally
selling
too.
And buying of teenagers. You right. Immediately think of what?
Not good things.
Kind of a what do they call those? Code red. I mean, what's that when you have a problem and then the state says we have a level something alert and then you know to be watching? That happened, I guess, about a week or so ago where they had a child.
Oh, you mean where they had a run of abductions and things like that?
They had an abduction down in Galveston, as I recall, and they had whatever the alert is. I can't keep up with all these alerts. And the young child, there was a fella that was a, what do they call it? Okay, I'm studying to be a cop. I'm in school. I'm one of those cadets.
Security guard.
No, it's a HPD or Harris County or something. Anyway, it's one of the cadets that's at the academy.
No
and
bullets.
And he was driving around, and he knew about this alert, saw the pickup, noticed the license plate. They caught the guy, and the child was recovered.
Really?
Right here in
Man, that's good. That's
in
good.
Houston.
I tell you, we were a long time ago, lived in Fort Lauderdale, and actually were at the Sears store that Adam Walsh was taken from. They actually closed off that exit way.
Really?
They walled it in. It was kind of strange to be there in that store.
Wow.
But that's the birth of John Walsh and his fame with
America's
Most Wanted and
exactly.
so on and so forth.
He's done a great job with that show.
Yeah. There was also a girl abducted down in Fort Lauderdale. We actually participated in the trying to find her through the radio station and, of course, through the John Walsh Foundation.
And were you successful?
No.
Yeah,
sadly.
Well, you know, in the last week or two, if you haven't been hearing about Michael Jackson, you haven't been watching TV.
Jeez, oh, man.
I have a list.
You know, I felt sad for him, bad for him, you know, with the fact that he was beaten by his father. There was so much emotional abuse. But then the man's just, he's way out there. He's gone.
You know, it's one thing to, you know, be a little extravagant or strange because you've had an unusual childhood. But my problem with it is that when somebody says, okay, Michael, have you had any plastic surgery on your face?
Yeah.
And you hold two fingers up.
Yeah, right.
Twice.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know about you. I have a list of questions that are all related to Michael Jackson. And I'm going to start with one. We'll spread this throughout the next 2 hours. Ray, name a television network that has not aired a Michael Jackson special.
MSNBC.
No, it's the Food Channel.
The Food Channel.
But they're getting ready to interview him. But he doesn't eat anything, so they don't know what they're going to talk about.
I mean, come on. You make your kids wear masks.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Around. That's just plain strange, Michael.
Your two girls were calling me, and they said, you couldn't afford those nice silk masks, so they had the bags with the holes.
And did you see he went on a shopping spree at that one place in Vegas?
I did see that.
And he spent like $2 million. Dollars.
I got to tell you, if we didn't do the show, I probably wouldn't watch that stuff. But I think it's important that you kind of get a feel for what's being talked about.
Right.
But of the four networks, broadcast networks out there, NBC, Fox, CBS, and ABC, they're all on it. I mean, they're all airing something about Michael Jackson. So I think Oprah had something on Michael Jackson the other day.
The next reality show.
Yeah. Have you heard, speaking of reality, and I have something on that in a second, but have you heard about Jane Pauley?
Yeah, quitting after 27 years in NBC.
Exactly. And the New York Times broke that story earlier this week. Pauly told the Times that having recently sent her twins off to college, that she's decided to hang it up, and it seems like a good time to do that. Pauly, who is 52, and also, of course, one of the mainstays at Dateline, along with Stone Phillips, has seen ratings decline for Dateline the last few years, and I think she's done a wonderful job. Remember, many years ago, starting on the Today Show, and there's a lot of talk about who's going to be replacing her. Some say that Katie Couric, White House correspondent Campbell Brown, has been mentioned, and also Dateline correspondent Maria Shriver, which, of course, is Arnold's babe. Maria, have you ever seen a close-up of her? You look at somebody like that and you say, now, she's a very handsome woman and certainly comes from money, but the orthodontist on those bottom teeth, did you ever notice
this? I didn't notice the bottom teeth.
I got to tell you, the orthodontists were all on strike when she was from age four through nine or something.
So much vanity there.
Well, there is. And you know what Arnold says?
What?
Well, I'm not going to get into that. But whatever he says, it's probably,
it's right. It's
sexual.
Correct.
I don't know why I say that. Just to get your attention, Ray. For the last week or so, I've been saying, London, and I don't know, London's our engineer in the other room here, I've been offering Ray an opportunity to jump on the bandwagon with all these reality programs, and I've been mentioning to our audience who's been following this, every week I come in, and today's no different, Ray says, Brad, will you accept this rose? And I have no idea what he's talking about. And then he hands me a rose. And last week we went to Galveston for a little picnic. And and this week he said, I only have one rose left and I'm giving it to you. I don't know what that means, but he said, do you mind coming over to the house tomorrow?
And you think Michael Jackson lives in Neverland,
you think he's weird. Anyway.
So how many plastic surgeries have you had, pal?
I'm holding one finger. Do you notice which finger?
Down,
yes. Yeah. Okay.
The Advertising Show, Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth. Today our guest is Alyssa Quart. She'll be joining us here in just a little while.
Not to be misinformed or confused about her half-pint sister, Melissa Quart.
Or her British counterpart, Alyssa Leader.
Leader, yes.
Right, exactly.
Lederhosen.
So we'll get to Alyssa here in just a little while. And Branded, the buying and selling of teenagers is our topic today.
What's new with you, Ray? What do you have there?
Well, this is the week that the government, first of all, they got everybody out buying duct tape and plastic, which is the biggest bunch of baloney I've ever heard
my entire life. That was my wife's Valentine gift to me last week.
Was it? I was going to say that. I thought you gave it to her.
No, she gave it to me.
One of the gentlemen has a good opinion on the whole thing. If you want to go ahead and get duct tape and plastic, don't bother taping the windows or anything. Just put the plastic bag over your head and duct tape yourself.
Right.
That way you can move around a little bit.
You might live longer.
So we've got this new ad campaign from the Ad Council. We've got Peggy Conlon commenting on that.
Peggy Conlon. Yeah, once a guest here on the show.
That's right. The messages respond to some requests from consumers. The American people have been asking for some time about, what can I do? She said it's important to get the message out. So we've got this stupid ad running about, well, we better be ready. And come on now. I have one word for that. You guys want to be ready for what's going to happen, if it's going to happen. You don't need plastic sheeting and duct tape. It might be a good idea to just open your Bible instead and start reading that.
Well,
I heard it was... God doesn't like duct tape and plastic sheeting, I don't think.
True. And I heard that it was a conspiracy that somehow had Lowe's tied in with it.
No. I'll tell you. There's a place. It's not D-U-C-T, but it's D-U-C-K tape, which is what Lowe's and Home Depot and everybody carries.
Right.
That is made at a little plant outside of Cleveland, Ohio.
Are they selling a lot?
I bet they are.
Yeah.
I bet they've ramped up production on duct tape.
So visit ducttape.com?
I don't have the faintest idea. I guess that's where it's at. I don't know if they're on the web. But I personally think, have you seen the ads? Have you seen the spots?
No, I did read that in Ad Age earlier this week, but have not seen the spots.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well,
you can apparently ready.gov for tips on how to put one together is what they've got what this going for. But I personally think that's a whole bunch of baloney. And this guy who is what is his name? Tom Ridge,
mm-hmm.
Homeland Security chief.
Sure.
I mean, first of all, he's got egg on his face from this idiotic thing about everybody go out and buy duct tape and plastic sheeting. That was a big idiotic mistake. And now with his TV commercial, it's like, be ready. You won't be ready.
You and I come from the same general age group. We were both doing the duck and cover and get under the...
Sure we did.
In grade school. The problem
bomb shelters. We had one of those missile sites, those Nike missile sites, in our neighborhood, believe it or not. Can you believe that? To have a ready-to-fire missile waiting there?
I always had a problem getting out back from underneath the desk because I liked it under there. And I would get my rug out and you just sleep. But anyway.
Your blankie.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, we look back on that and we think it's funny because there really wasn't going to be any help there. And I think here, you know, 2003, it's another example of the government doing a little CYA here, because if they don't offer some kind of protection, then people will feel like, well, I need it, and it's sad because the American public have relied on the government to protect me. But you know, tell me something I need to do in preparation to this, and so they throw that duct tape and plastic sheathing out there, and it's silly. But I guess the government would be saying, hey, we told them something.
Yeah, that's about it. That's the way I feel about the whole thing. So what a waste of energy, folks. Could have spent it on something a heck of a lot better. This half hour, we've got the wacky world of marketing coming up, and there are some wacky things going on above and beyond the Ad Council's PSA this week. And we have more. What? We have the advertising. Oh, that's right. We forgot about that. Yeah. Why don't we wait to do that? Yeah, let's do that. Let's go and take a break
now. Let's
do that. It's the Advertising Show. It's Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsyth. The Advertising Show is being brought to you by this segment, Charles P. Young, on CBS Infinity's Business Radio 650 and online, live, globally at theadvertisingshow.com. We'll be back in just a minute with good and bad. Or is it going to be bad today?
Just good.
Just good. Okay, good. We'll be back.
There's a fragrance
that's here today.
They call it Charlie.
Charlie. Who was that? Who was that lady that was on Charlie?
Oh,
the lady from Charlie's Angels, right?
I'll take Celebrity for 50s.
I don't know.
I have no clue either.
Okay, if you know,
always
email
ask
us
questions.
At theadshow.com.
No, Ray at theadshow.com.
Or Brad.
Yeah, but you know, you
shoot,
just
email London.
You have some of that English leather again on today, don't you, Ray? It's a small studio in here. I can smell it. Ray, are you going to watch the Grammy Sunday?
No, probably not.
You're not?
No.
I found this interesting. It was a piece in USA Today recently, which I want to get your take on this. So unlike most of the stuff I read, Ray, pay attention. Reflecting on the growing cloud of Hispanic Americans as consumers, Procter & Gamble, Ray, will air Spanish-language TV spots for Crest and Crest Whitening Plus Scope toothpaste during Sunday's Grammy Awards on CBS. The spot will mark the rare use of a Spanish language spot on mainstream national network television. As you may recall, network TV aired a, don't remember what particular network, aired some Nike and Pepsi spots in Spanish recently as kind of an experiment on their part. But, you know, there's over 37 million Hispanics with over $500 billion in buying power. So here comes an event like the Grammys, which will have a sizable Hispanic audience with all the impact that Hispanics have both in music and arts. And they're going to air a spot in Spanish. What do you think of, you know, P&G or Nike airing a spot in Spanish on a general media mainstream type network program?
Is that a waste of money? It's stupid.
Because there's a lot of people that would not hear or understand, I guess, the spot because they don't speak Spanish.
Well, first of all, it's television, and video or film is you know, cross-cultural.
Right. So correct.
I think that's really stupid.
Right.
Why would you do that?
Well, you know, would you want to run a subtitle underneath it in English?
I was going to say, are they going to do that too?
It is an experiment. And you know, the whole strategy, and we've had people on from the Association of Hispanic Advertising Agencies and other Hispanic advertising specialists, and they will all tell you that marketing to Hispanics on Spanish-speaking radio or Telemundo and other television, Hispanic television networks, is all about connecting on their level, on a Hispanic's level from a cultural and language standpoint, and resonating with those consumers to, in effect, say, hey, we care enough about you as a group, as a market, that we want to have a spot that relates to your culture, to your to what's meaningful to you as a consumer. I'm not sure how smart that is to do it on a program that you're paying for the entire audience and only a small portion are going to understand the spot.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it's real stupid, like I said. It makes no sense whatsoever. So, yeah, it's time to do the good stuff. Let's do that. We've got Wacky coming up here in just a minute, too.
And now it's time for the Advertising Show's Advertising Showcase, an outstanding example of on-target advertising for the good stuff. Here's Ray and Brad.
I guess in a roundabout way, we did the bad stuff, too, because we just slammed the P&G spot.
We just didn't have the open.
So if you're running on an English television or radio station, maybe a good idea to stay in English, I guess.
True.
You know, speaking of that real quick, before we get to the good, we did Moody Gardens radio and TV, right?
Right.
And we did a and the spots were long to begin with. And then when you create the Spanish spot out of they get longer.
Yeah, right.
So our female voice talent was like, she was going fast. Well, I mean, real, real fast.
Tell the media buyer to buy a 90 or a 60 TV.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I don't think it works.
Have you seen this? This is crazy. Now, I'm going to end on a positive, but just follow me here. There's a TV program on ABC called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Now, I'll get back to that in a second. On Hollywood Squares, I'm not a viewer of Hollywood Squares, but I am a surfer, and I just happened to, you know, be sitting on it while I was reading something, and I saw one of the celebrity squares being called upon, and I thought I was hearing things. The host said, Baba Booey from the Howard Stern Show, and he goes on to ask him the question. And yes, of course, for those that may not know, Baba Booey is the executive producer, Gary Delabate, for the Howard Stern Show. Now, back to the ABC's I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. One of the featured celebrities, which even, I mean, look at all the celebrities on there, and you'd have to be saying to yourself, we're redefining the word celebrity.
Yeah.
One of the celebrities on...
Wannabe.
Was a guy named Stuttering John from the Howard Stern Show. Now, unless you watch the Howard Stern Show on E! Entertainment Cable Television Network or listen to the Stern Syndicated Radio Show, you're having probably difficulty understanding who Baba Booey is and who Stuttering John is. Now, you might think I'm being negative here, but I'm going to turn this around. Hats off to the Howard Stern Show for extending their brand into mainstream media. Now, in my opinion, although people, you know, don't know who they are today, I thought it was a great PR move. And you know, say what you will about Howard Stern. I'm not a huge fan of that shtick, but he does have his appeal to a particular market. Taking characters from his show and getting exposure on network programming on ABC or syndicated programming on Hollywood Squares is truly a great move.
Yeah.
I mean, it extends the brand of what he has into mainstream media, and I thought it was... It really caught me off, you know, caught me by surprise. I was frankly floored that they would
see those guys on
there.
Because they're really nobodies, basically.
They are nobodies.
But they became somebodies.
Well, at least for, you know, they say, you remember, everybody's going to be popular or have their own celebrity for 15 minutes.
Who said that? Right. I don't know.
Well, that's
not, doesn't matter.
I'll take famous sayings for 50 again,
really
Alex.
Really doing good.
But I think they're changing that. Eventually, everyone will have their own reality show.
Reality show, right.
They are.
Those people, those celebrities, they really are kind of wannabe celebrities. Right. They're borderline celebrities.
Right. Who was the, you got Joan Rivers' daughter on there, Melissa.
Yeah, right.
And she's all pissed off because she's got to eat worms or something. I don't know. It was on a promo, but, I mean, I'm not going to watch that.
Really?
Could you imagine? I mean, what is TV come? I don't know. Joe Millionaire, you know, him and this girl that he picked got $1 million.
Right.
And they're trying to guess, because they jointly have the $1 million, what they're going to do with this money.
Split it.
Here's my guess. See if you agree with this.
Yeah.
I think they're going to take that money and develop a pilot. It's going to be a reality show pilot. And what it's going to be is they're going to follow around network TV executives to film and document them getting pitched by developers of reality shows.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
I think that's a good idea. You know, you've got all of these shows, too, out there. You've got all these cable networks, too, and they're scrambling to find programming that people want to watch because they're, you know, everybody, it's so segmented with the listenership and the viewership now.
Unfortunately, it's all about more reality programming, and I think it's a little silly at this point.
It's unusual, to say the least. This segment of the Advertising Show is being brought to you by the Hispanic Broadcasting Corporation. I'll say that in Spanish. The Hispanic Broadcasting Corporation.
Okay. Yeah.
There we go. And Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth with Alyssa Quart on the way. Alyssa has written a book called Branded, The Buying and Selling of Teenagers. It's her first book, and we'll talk and meet with Alyssa here in just a few moments. Wacky World of Marketing on the way with Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth on the line, on the web, at theadvertisingshow.com here in Houston. You can hear us on CBS Infinity's Business Radio 650. So we'll come back in just a minute. Stick around.
And And now, it's time for the Wacky World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update heads to Atlanta, where the firm Bright House Institute for Thought Sciences regularly runs consumers through MRIs while they look at pictures of products so the researchers can see which parts of the brain are stimulated in order to learn consumers' subconscious thoughts about those products. A Bright House spokesman tried to say as little as possible about this neuromarketing technology and which company pays the bills, and told the Canadian public radio program Marketplace, which reported on the Institute a few months ago, "Right now, our clients would rather not be exposed. We've been kind of running under the radar with a lot of this breakthrough technology." And tiny but proud, the village of Tiddlywink is back. 4 years ago, the only road sign pointing to the southern English hamlet was knocked over in an accident. And adding to its obscurity, the village was omitted from the current edition of the Collins British Atlas. Now, after campaigning by residents, Wiltshire County Council has put up two new road signs, a first step toward restored recognition for the cluster of eight cottages that make up the village. "It's good news, because people didn't know where we were," says Dennis White, age 79, a Tiddlywink resident for 40 years. "The name does make people smile. They usually say, 'What a lovely address.'" Back when the old sign was up, tourists liked to have their photographs taken next to it. "Goodness knows what will happen when the visitors come back in the summer," Dennis says. And finally, the AgriGold Company of India has begun marketing an instant, just-add-water version of the holy cow dung that many urban Hindus use in their purification rituals. According to a December dispatch from India in the Sydney Morning Herald, the dung sells for the equivalent of 25 cents to make about 2 pounds and is mixed with camphor, turmeric, and sandalwood paste, which alleviates the foul smell, which is the main reason many Hindus had been leaving the dung part out of the ritual. And that, my friends, is the Wacky World of Marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true Wacky World of Marketing.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show.
This week our special guest is Alyssa Quart, author of Branded, The Buying and Selling of Teenagers.
You know, when it comes to marketing to teenagers, it's a special thing that you got to do, and Alyssa knows all about it.
This Saturday, hope you can join us. The Advertising Show is sponsored by the Houston Business Journal, Strictly Houston, Strictly Business, and by Zoito, the future of fulfillment.
The Advertising Show, Saturdays noon to 2, only on Business Radio 650.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show on Business Radio 650.
Because I'm a woman.
Archuleta.
I can bring home a bacon.
Archuleta.
Fry it up in a pan.
Archuleta.
And never let you forget you're a man.
Give her Archuleta, the 8-hour perfume for the 24-hour woman.
I can work till 5 o'clock. Come home and read your ticket.
Yes, sirree, Bob. What a great fragrance that was. Wonder where it went. Not. Anjali. So she's got an 8-hour perfume for a 24-hour world. So what does she have to do? Apply it 3 times a day?
Well, right.
It was like go poof.
It was interesting because it had the smell of the office.
God.
So it made it look like she was working real hard.
Have you seen, speaking of stuff for females, did you see the stuff where you can actually tape up your wrinkles? And you can do a facelift without, they put this invisible tape on their face, they push up and they...
Where do you hide it behind your hairline or something?
It just goes up and it stays. It's like scotch tape, but it's much better. It's probably surgical tape. But my question is, what happens if it comes off?
Well,
you look like you have a stroke or something.
Is it just me, or does Michael Jackson's face, if his eyes were any wider, he would be an entry into this year's Kentucky Derby? I mean, is it just me, or are you seeing the same thing?
I'm seeing a lot of stuff. Way too much with Michael. Man, he needs to get his nose back.
Did you?
He needs to get his nose back.
Unfortunately.
He can't get his nose back. Well, sure he can. I mean, you know what he looks like? He looks like he was in a fire. He honestly looks like he was in a fire, and they tried to put part of his face back together.
Well, earlier in his life, he looked like he was in a fight.
No, he didn't look that. He was a good-looking guy.
Well, he had a bigger nose, and his father apparently freaked him out on that so much.
Yeah.
Did you see this earlier in the week in the Houston Chronicle? Before I say this, it just reminded me. I've been wanting to say this for weeks. The Houston Press?
Yeah.
If they don't get off knocking the Houston Chronicle, I mean, it's getting old. I mean, it's an easy shot to take, and I'm not defending the Chronicle.
Right.
But
what are they knocking the Chronicle about?
Every week they have.
What are they saying about the Chronicle?
Oh, just why they didn't do this, why they didn't do that, didn't dig deep enough in a story, didn't put a name out there that they should have, just different stuff.
Oh,
but
where?
it's like if you're in the same medium, which the Houston Press, I'm probably pulling them up many levels.
Oh,
to even,
I might suggest that you are. Yeah,
right. Why do you keep knocking the Houston Chronicle? It belittles you when you keep doing that. Pick other media and spread it out a little bit.
The Chronicle's probably saying, cool, thanks for the plug.
Well,
time and time again.
But then on the other hand, a lot of the advertising that you see in the Houston Press probably wouldn't accept.
You wouldn't see it in
Houston,
the Chronicle,
right.
No, you're absolutely right.
I know, because you called that massage parlor the other day and got a line busy on that, wasn't it?
You asked me to do that for your wife.
Oh,
okay?
My goodness. Ray, I'm going to have to quit this. Did you? Anyway, in the Houston Chronicle, headline, fake a fortune, phony ATM receipts can be a pickup device. Apparently, a website, I love the name of this, pullmyfinger.com, based out of a sunny, sometimes transparent Los Angeles, is selling fake ATM receipts that show a six-figure balance that's sure to impress any potential boyfriend or girlfriend. What you do is you go out and you're at a bar. And you have one of these, and they come in a packet, and I'll get to that in a second. But you take it out, and you say, okay, listen, here's my number. And you look like you're searching for a piece of paper. You pull out this phony receipt, and on the back you jot it down, and you hand it to them. And, of course, when they're out in their car and getting ready to throw it away, they see a withdrawal of $400 from a checking account, a $1.50 surcharge.
With a few hundred thousand left over.
$314,000.
I see.
Apparently, this product, which is called ATM, here, you read it. Okay. ATM imitations.
Yeah, ATM imitations.
Yeah.
ATM imitations.
Yeah, anyway, it's the little packet that they sell, and you can order it either at Spencer's Gifts, I think I recall it saying, now that you have the article, I'm going from memory, and also, I love this site, pullmyfinger.com. Can you imagine the opening sound effects for pullmyfinger.com?
Well, I'm sure they're there.
Yeah.
Too bad we don't have a sound card here in the studio.
So it used to be so easy to date back when you used to date. I know you used to take your covered wagon over to your girlfriend's house. And back when I used to date, anything that you could pick up that would be a problem, penicillin could take care of it.
A Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah.
An original one.
But anyway, things have changed, and now you should want to go out with somebody because they have a $314,000 phony balance in their checking account.
And if that's the reason you want to go out, boy, what a shallow person you are. Alyssa Court is our special guest today. Alyssa is a graduate of Brown University and the Columbia School of Journalism, not the Columbia School of Broadcasting.
No.
I was an instructor there. Alyssa Court has written features for publications with such papers as the New York Times, Lingua Franca, Elle, The Nation, Wired, the Boston Globe, and Salon.com as well. And let's see. Such assignments, coupled with her own interest in books on youth culture from the 1970s and 80s, inspire her to tackle the topic. She lives in New York, and her book is called Branded, The Buying and Selling of Teenagers. It's her first book, too, and we'd love to have a chance to get to know Alyssa just a little bit better. Alyssa, thanks for being on the show today. Good to have you here.
Hello.
Hi there.
Alyssa, where are we speaking to you today? Manhattan?
Manhattan, exactly.
Yeah, yes. Well, welcome to the show. Have you enjoyed sitting there on hold and hearing Ray and I just basically tear the airwaves up here in Houston?
Oh, I love that MRI thing about, what was it, cognitive science and advertising or
right.
something? Yeah, that was funny.
Something you only hear on the wacky world of marketing here on the show. You know, we've had plenty of guests here on the advertising show who have shared with our audience their idea of branding. So why don't we start off with an easy one, Alyssa. What's your definition of branding?
Well, in regards to kids and teens, my sense of branding is it's about creating a relationship with a kid between a kid and a product. So it's not just, forwarding a label or a designer or a product itself. It's about the relationship.
So you see a differentiation between the definition of branding when it comes to teens and adolescents versus adults, huh?
No, I actually don't. I think it's part of the same thing. I think perhaps kids, it's a more emotional process just because kids are looking to identify with something larger than themselves, and sometimes the brand is that for them.
You know, I think there's probably a lot of people out there that listen to the show regularly but do not necessarily have a connection to the teen market in terms of a need to market to this particular group, yet there are many companies out there that target this group. What would you say to someone who thinks that marketing to teens is not a lot different than marketing to, say, young adults?
Well, I think it's different for a lot of reasons. I mean, one is just if you look at, you know, the literature on, like, child psychology and sort of physiological development, kids' brains are different than adults, and it's there's a marked distinction. And so I think what I'm interested in is not changing our production of objects for kids, but sort of laying off some of the more invasive marketing techniques. Because I don't think kids are in a position to know whether they want to respond to those or not, or whether they want to give the personal information that's being solicited from them away or not. And I think that's the major distinction, that they're not, they're, you know, they don't have sex legally, they don't drink legally, and they don't vote legally. So we're making a distinction between adults and teenagers and children in every area of life. Why not in terms of marketing as well?
Well, I know when Ray and I became legal to have sex and drink, it wasn't as much of fun as it was when,
yeah,
before.
Speak for yourself.
Of course. Well, of course, it wasn't until Ray was 33 that he drank his first drink.
Geez,
and
oh,
had his. I asked Ray about sex. He said, I said, when did you first have sex? And he said, you mean by myself or with another woman? So we were talking about special considerations from an ethical standpoint when it comes to advertising to teens. Have tobacco companies and alcohol companies, do you feel, taken advantage of teens, as we hear so much about the companies such as these trying to influence both their buying preferences and activities?
Well, definitely. I mean, if you look at this new product called Alka-Pops, which is sort of basically like
Alka-Pops,
like the wine coolers of yesteryear.
Mm-hmm.
But
for our audience that may not be familiar with that, to describe an Alka-Pop.
You know, Bodine's Twisted Tea. They're these sort of sweetened with these kind of cool labels, and they look like they could be Snapple,
mm-hmm,
but
they
have alcohol content. And obviously they're not being explicitly advertised to those under 21, but
packaging and naming would suggest.
Exactly,
yeah.
And the general approach is going after those kids. And so I think that would be something that I think is a bit of a violation of kind of questions of fairness, you know.
Integrity, right.
Mm-hmm.
Crossing the line.
So,
mm-hmm.
So, staying with the differentiations there on terms of not only products, but going from a cultural standpoint, let's say teens, Hispanic teens versus African-American teens versus white Caucasian, I guess that white Caucasian, that's a duplication there, isn't
it? Yes, it is. Yeah.
Teens, is there any difference in approaching these various cultures from a marketing standpoint?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think, if you see, there's now, I write about this in my book, Latina Barbie websites. And,
really?
Yeah, there's a lot of specialty product lines. There's a magazine called, I'm going to mispronounce this, I don't speak Spanish. I think it's actually out of Texas. It's called Quince, and it's for its 15th birthday of teenagers. And
Quince, I think you're right. Yeah, Quince.
Quince, mm-hmm. Yeah. And that 1 year of Spanish paid off. But so it's sort of like specialty marketing, yeah, within ethnic groups, for sure.
So is it a Barbie Martinez, or is it still just a Barbie doll?
It's a Barbie doll, but one with the sort of
Hispanic features and dress and so
right,
forth.
Right.
Well,
so,
sort of specifics for the 15th birthday party get up, like the dress and the handbag and the tiara and
what's that called? A quintera? Is that what
it is? Quinceañera.
Quintanera?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
chili con queso.
That's interesting because after the break, we're going to jump into a break real quick here. But after the break, I want to talk to you about some of the more common mistakes made by marketers when marketing to teens, and we'll do that in a second.
Yeah, right. So you had yours, your quintanilla, whatever that was.
No, I had the queso.
Queso. The queso and the enchiladas. It's the Advertising Show. This is Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth. We stream live online at theadvertisingshow.com. And here in Houston, CBS Infinity's Business Radio 650. Our special guest is Alyssa Court, author of Branded, The Buying Selling of Teenagers. If you'll stick around, we'll come right back and talk more with Alyssa and you.
Polaroid's One Step is the world's simplest camera. Even a woman can use it.
How'd that go again?
I thought that would get her attention.
I can have 1,000 women here in half an hour.
You never focus. You just point it and press the button. Hey.
All marching with big signs.
The sharp, clear color develops in minutes. You're beautiful when you're angry.
You had a nice career there for a while.
You are beautiful when you're angry, Ray.
It's the Advertising Show. Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth. And this segment of the Advertising Show is being brought to you by our friends at WB39TV. We also had we have Alyssa Court as our special guest today on the show for the next 45 minutes or so.
Author of Branded, The Buying and Selling of Teenagers, which is, I guess, something when you look at it from a marketer standpoint, it is legal. And before the break, we were talking about some of the more common mistakes made. I wanted to talk about some of the more common mistakes made by advertisers and marketers when it comes to marketing to teens. I know we've often spoken about here on the Advertising Show how many years ago when American companies began to decide that there would be some reason behind, and a wise reason as well, to convert their English-speaking commercials and products to Spanish, and doing it both here in America and as well as doing it down in Mexico, Ray. And you may recall, I think there were a couple of things. There was a product. Well, first of all, stay with Dr. Pepper. You're a pepper, I'm a pepper, he's a pepper.
Right.
Well,
right.
Down in Mexico, that's not a good thing to be calling people.
And the car, what was the car?
Yeah, I was trying to think of
it.
Was it
the Pinto? No, it wouldn't be the Pinto.
It was like a Vega, I think it was, wasn't it?
Or a Chevy Vega, that's right. Yeah. And that means it doesn't run or
go
something.
Slow.
Go
slow.
Or don't go at all.
So there's been a lot of mistakes.
That's
although,
Ford's logo.
Yeah, and I wonder if teen marketing, Alyssa, is something that is relatively new in terms of being more sophisticated about it. And are there companies out there that are making common mistakes when it comes to targeting this particular group?
Well, let's think about that. I don't know if I'm not sure if I'd be the expert in talking about the mistakes. I mean, I could talk about mistakes, I think, from a sort of more moral perspective than from an actual technical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I think, you know, one mistake is to give away covers in schools because I think that is in a kind of subtle message to kids that their schools are commercial environments.
Yeah.
So that, to me, is like a mistake on the part of companies.
Oh, okay? book covers.
Book covers, right,
saying.
Yeah,
like Clinique or Cadbury Schweppes gives away book covers.
Mm-hmm.
Middle schools and high schools,
right.
And you know, we used to obviously wrap our books in paper bags,
right.
And now kids are wrapping them in logo-covered giveaways.
Right.
You could say, oh, well, they can choose whether to cover their books in these things or not, but I think it's a real issue that that's what's on offer to them, and, you know, they're 10 or 11 years old. So, I don't know. I guess that's not really what you're getting at.
But I think, on that point, I think that's really smart, though, of these companies to be able to do something like that.
Well,
if they can get in
there. Oh, it's really smart. I think it is actually very effective.
As long as they're not advertising alcohol and safe sex and all that kind of garbage.
Yeah, because you don't want to have safe sex if you're a teenager.
No.
no, but, you know, and it's interesting. A lot of people, especially, again, if you're a baby boomer and you think about this, and I don't have children, but I've read this. Kids today, because there's drug problems and hiding things and so forth, you take your books back and forth. You don't have the lockers to put things in anymore. So you're a walking billboard at that point with some of this stuff. Of course, you have the backpack. But staying with that thought, Alyssa, we have fast foods, McDonald's and others that are now offered within the school system. We also hear about the some of these in-school video news capabilities that are also sponsored by news-gathering companies and others. What do you think about the commercial sector being involved in these kind of endeavors?
Well, I guess you're talking about Channel One.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that Channel One's news programming is actually really very good, but I do think to have advertising during school hours, schools are being paid for by taxpayer dollars, and in a sense, it's sort of it's allowing that money that we're giving for our kids' education to be given as a platform for, you know, captive audiences to advertising. And I guess, again, it's a question of fairness. You know, kids don't have a choice whether they want to watch the ads or not. They're watching them in school hours. It's mandatory.
That's a good point.
I mean, you know, I guess this is a bit of a children's rights issue in the sense that they can't say, I don't want to watch it that. I want to go out and, you know, wander around. You know, they can't. They have to do it. So, so I would say that it's very problematic.
You know, just recently, Britain banned all smoking advertising for everything, whether it be print or outdoor or radio, television.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And they've got like 120,000 deaths per year due to attributed to cancer.
Wow.
And they're saying that's going to save, just getting it off there, is going to save like 3,000 lives a year. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the tobacco marketing and such? We touched on it a little while ago, but how do you feel about, just hearing the news that, you know, Britain has banned that. And here in the United States, for the longest time, we had Joe Camel.
Exactly.
And they got rid of Joe Camel, which is a good deal. Mm-hmm. But what do you think about that, Alyssa?
Well, I would love to see anti-tobacco ads and tobacco ads in general, especially banned from areas where there are teens and kids. But I think it's going to be really hard to see that happen here. I'm pretty amazed that what are the specifics of that? You know, what happened in England or?
Right. Yeah, and I don't know in America with R.J. Reynolds based right here in our fine country that and the kind of lobbyist and others that, you know, that they have an ability to maintain some kind of commercial.
Well, look at this. You still got the tennis tour, the Virginia Slims tennis tour.
Exactly.
You got to dig deep to find out those are cigarettes, but that's what they are.
Yeah, because all the women on there are kind of slim, and I think they're from Virginia. A lot of those players are. But, you know, this is kind of an interesting thought. We had a guest on several months ago that was talking about, you know, when you talk about the Gen Xers of yesterday, they're now young adults, and they have jobs and they have children. And when I read a lot of what you were writing in your book about what I guess you okay with calling these the Gen Y folks today?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
So the Gen Y teens today, that particular market, do you see as you fast forward them into young adulthood and they become parents and breadwinners and consumers with greater disposable income that you're going to have to market to these people differently when they do become young adults based on some of the behaviors that you're seeing today?
Well, honestly, I think it's probably going to be a lot easier to continue to reach them than it's been to reach Generation X. I mean, they seem to have a lot less suspicion, although they're supposedly credited with all this kind of sarcasm and complexity, and you do see that. You see kids being like, oh, we only want ads that are cool or like off, you know, off color. You know, they really like that kind of Tom Green kind of ad, you know.
Right.
But
yeah.
I think they're also very warm. They have a lot of warmth towards brands. They have a lot of warmth towards corporations and corporate culture, a lot more than kids. And it's a huge generality, but kids from Gen X, from my generation, did and do. So I think it's probably going to be easier to reach them, honestly.
You know, it's been said, I read somewhere in doing some research for our interview today, that advertising directed towards teens, Ray, has been called dog whistle advertising.
Really?
Yeah, because it's advertising only a dog can hear. Kind of staying with what Alyssa was just talking about. You know, we've all seen ads directed at teens, Alyssa. I was just curious, does it take a person, I mean, can a person 40 years old, 50 years old write and develop advertising directed at teens, or do you find today that most teen marketing and advertising is developed by young people in the advertising business, say in their early 20s?
I definitely think one could if one was older, but I think a lot of the principles of it, it seems that the element of surprise, right, that's really big with teens, peer-to-peer kind of viral stuff, that's very big with teens. I mean, it's kind of like it has to be somebody in their 40s and 50s who, like, agrees to let the kids sort of rule the campaign in a sense.
Right.
And I think that that's sort of the major thing there.
That's a good point. That's a very smart smart way to attack that, too. You know, the Ad Council, you might have heard us talk before about the Ad Council thing, about be ready stuff for the war and such like that.
Duck and cover.
Duck and cover of the 21st century.
No, duct tape and cover.
Duct tape and cover, I got you.
You could repurpose
that. What do you think about that as it reflects to Gen Y?
I think it's a really interesting question. I mean, I definitely think that kind of emphasis on the army of one instead of be all that you can be reflects a shift in at least in how we think about Generation Y as much as what they actually approve of, you know. The use of the video games, America's Army video game. I've been reading that at recruitment sessions they now have climbing walls and like dog tag machines.
Right,
it's like,
really?
It's all about making it fun and making it seem like a party, you know, which, you know, to me is somewhat saddening, you know. I mean, even like kind of the be all you can be was sort of attempting to win them over to at least some idea about patriotism or their own lives in the future, and this is sort of more about mistaking it for a Vin Diesel movie. You know?
And it's typical of a transitional process of marketing and positioning that those things do change, because Be All You Can Be was an attempt to get our generation, you know, involved and stuff like that. But this this other thing with the Army of One is really kind of a cool concept. And I like what Alyssa is saying, too, about the games and such like that.
Well, you know, after the break, I want to ask her some Michael Jackson-related questions because, you know, Michael Jackson and young people, I mean, there's some kind of tie-in there. And before we...
There is, but Michael Jackson's old now.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm going to pose a question to you, Ray.
Okay.
Michael Jackson, man, boy, or man, he's with my boy. What would you say? True or false?
I say Michael needs to get some help, okay?
Well.
It's the Advertising Show. Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsyth. This segment of the Advertising Show is being brought to you by, the Houston Business Journal, Strictly Houston, Strictly Business, and by Zoito, The Future of Fulfillment. Our special guest is Alyssa Quart. Alyssa is the author. It's her first book. It's called Branded, The Buying and Selling of Teenagers. And in just a moment, we'll come back and talk more with Alyssa. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of The Advertising Show, America's only weekly radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, sales, and customer relations. Once again, your hosts, Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
And The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Zoito, The Future of Fulfillment, and by the Houston Business Journal, Strictly Houston, Strictly Business. Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsyth. And it's, we've got kind of a fun thing going here. It's talking about how to brand to teenagers. Alyssa Quart is our special guest. The actual name of the book, Branded, The Buying and Selling of Teenagers. You know, talking about the ad before about the tobacco, rather, being in Britain, being banned like that. I wanted to talk, this is real current events. This is the nightclub fire in
Rhode Island.
In Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Alyssa, can you imagine if you had, well, first of all, you got the radio station. You got that radio station participating in this thing, and you know, for those of who are left, there's going to be lawsuits out the, you know, the yin yang
here.
Sure.
Is that Chinese?
Yes, it is.
Yin and yang.
It's like feng shui.
I got you.
I love how Spinal Tap that band was.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah. Can you imagine? They're playing there, and the damn place is on fire.
Right.
What in God's name were they thinking?
Well, the pyrotechnics. That was part of the reason. And, of course, probably most of the people there were saying, wow, this is so cool. They've even got a little smoke going.
Yeah, it was really stupid. It took 3 minutes for that place to burn down.
Yeah.
It's a
sad situation. It was 40-some-odd people die in that?
40? It's up to 90-some now.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because it started out, when it first started, when it was happening overnight, it was like 27 were dead.
Well, I saw that, and then a day later, or maybe it was the same day, they had the fire right there in your area, Alyssa, with the oil-related storage unit there.
The oil refinery.
Yeah, what was that all about? I imagine that had a few people a little bit panicky in New York City.
We were all pretty nervous. I was at the gym, and everyone was staring, and we were afraid it was terrorism, but it looks like it was an accident.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we had a fire last night at a nightclub here in Houston, and I think probably very soon Andy Borowitz will be doing a little piece on terrorism and fires and nightclubs. But anyway, it's a crazy world we live in today, and It's too bad, but I think it's we're better off to be a little more on the alert side.
Right.
There's a fine line between being alert and being paranoid. Right. Before the break, I mentioned the are we paying too much attention to Michael Jackson and him with these children, Alyssa? This is just digressing.
I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty fascinated by Michael Jackson, and
in a good way or a bad way?
Oh, in a bad way. Yeah. But I think what interests me is that the reason that we find him interesting at all is the very reason he's pathological, that he was this child star that was so twisted, mm-hmm. you know, and achieved sort of greatness through that, but it was also his downfall. It's like tragedy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw an interview with, I don't remember where, but I saw an interview with Mr. Michael Jackson, let's be his father.
Joe.
Yeah, Joe Jackson. And he was quoted as saying, I didn't whip my children, but I spanked them. And it's like, oh, okay,
right.
Thanks, Joe. Fine line there, baby.
Yeah.
And I think what he meant was he didn't use a whip. He just used his belt.
Well,
I don't know what he meant by
sad.
That. It is sad. But, you know, staying with these Michael Jackson questions, I heard, and you give me your take here. This is really a question, kind of a true-false question. Michael Jackson, of course, he marries Lisa Marie. Consummated or artificially consummated?
Well, we don't know. We don't know.
I didn't say inseminated. I said consummated.
Isn't that the same thing?
No, it's not.
Oh,
Ray, have you ever consummated your marriage yet? You've been married 30-some-odd years, for God's sakes. Okay.
What are we talking about?
Children and the buying and selling of children and Michael Jackson and how Michael Jackson buys and sells children there on Everland Ranch, whatever it is.
I wonder if those kids ever have been to Neverland Ranch. He bumped into them in Las Vegas. What, were they there already? Where do these kids live?
Yeah. And, you know, they supposedly have their parents' blessing when they send them in there, and they also probably have a nice lawyer right behind them.
I bet they do.
Yeah. Product placement. I noticed in your book you mentioned a company called Big Fat.
Mm-hmm.
You know Jonathan Ressler with Big Fat?
I don't know him, but yeah, I know of him,
well,
of course.
CEO of Big Fat. He's also been a guest here on the show and is a friend of the advertising show. Product placement. When it comes to product placement, is that something that you see a lot when it comes to marketing to teens? And if so, is it as effective as it can be with, say, older folks?
I think it's pretty effective. Now you're seeing it in video games, obviously, and these reality shows, and but also in teen films as much as perhaps more than films aimed at older people. I think Spider-Man is a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a fantastic film, I thought, but tons of product placement, and it seemed to be really working.
You know, if you have a cartoon nowadays, I guess a toy is not far behind, and then the toy gets produced, and before you know it, it's in a McDonald's, and you get it with a Funny Meal or Happy Meal or whatever it is.
They're also suggesting, too, that toy companies no longer have the ability to sell products. It's all about product placement within, you know, things like movies that actually sells the toys. So they're really not competing against themselves. They're just out there, you know, tagging on to things like Spider-Man and whatever other movies are out there.
So moving away from product placement for a moment, if you were to pick any particular medium, Alyssa, that more effectively reaches teens than any other. I mean, are we really looking at a lot of new media such as, computer games or online capability, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it seems like that. I mean, that seems like a major thing. Like that was that deal for SimCity, you know, with McDonald's, right? And if I got that right, or.
I'm not sure. Is McDonald's tied with SimCity now?
I've
seen commercials for SimCity, but I don't know that there's a tie with McDonald's.
Perhaps it was Burger King. It was either Burger King or McDonald's, but they have now, they're eating burgers, and they're using a computer that's a PC. And, I think it's definitely the wave of the future. And I mean, as much as I loathe it and I go after it extensively in my book, I do think street teams and peer-to-peer marketing works. It seems that way. That's what the kids I spoke to, that's what they seem to remember.
So when these youngsters that have been online and emailing each other and using the e-commerce tools and buying and selling things online, when these teens become young adults, are we going to see a big wave of e-commerce activity that maybe currently is not quite there?
I think certainly now it's trickier because it's hard for them to get their hands on credit cards. Although,
I think I read somewhere one out of every 10 teens has a credit card.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Shocking. No, it's like 10% or something. But even so, that's, you would need a higher percent of that, I think, to make e-commerce work for adolescents.
Yeah, I heard. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think it's probably too early to tell about what's going to happen when they're older, but yeah, I think it's a pretty good chance that they're going to be spending online.
You would think if they're comfortable with online purchases at that level, that as they grow older and become more available, both from a financial wherewithal standpoint as well as just not wanting to go to the store and buying online, that activity would increase.
Right.
Is it just me, Ray, or would MasterCard be wanting to issue some Michael Jackson MasterCards?
I don't think so.
Where you have his face on there.
Yeah,
and you
so.
Say, do you want the early nose, your middle nose, you want the late nose?
It truly is plastic.
How about no nose? Yeah, it would be a plastic nose, that's right.
So is Gen Y, what's the best and most efficient vehicle overall to identify and market to Gen Y? Is it radio, television, or is it pretty much a mix?
As far as traditional media?
Yeah.
Well, not television so much, because they don't watch that much television, but adolescents. I think definitely it seems like video games. It seems like magazines. It seems like, even in books. I know that Alloy is now doing that. Older media.
You know, after the break, I want to ask you a little bit about the pressure that teenagers feel today in this world that we live in. And is there any difference between the pressures of a teen today and what there was when Ray was a teenager back in the 1800s?
Early 1900s. Thank you very much. It's the Advertising Show. It's Ray Shillins along with Brad Forsyth. And we're live online at theadvertisingshow.com here in Houston. CBS Infinity's Business Radio 650 with Andy Borowitz. Coming up next, we'll be back with Alyssa in just a minute.
Woman? Here? Never.
A woman's world has freely grown. Most places now she calls her own.
Gentlemen, prefer hands.
Getting there was half fun. You see, that woman's day has come.
Gentlemen, prefer hands. Hands will make you smooth and silky sexy.
Victory holds no regret. You're now part of the lovely set.
Gentlemen.
Well, I must say, your Hanes look very lovely today.
Thank you. They're
Thank
control
you.
Top.
It's your Hanes.
I don't drink light beer.
That's pretty good. The Advertising Show, this segment is being brought to you by Charles P. Young. It's Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsyth.
I never would have had you as a garter guy.
Garter guy. That's funny. Why would guys wear stuff like that, too? I mean, seriously, you're talking about the old, like, the garters that holds up socks.
Yeah.
It's like, why don't you just get some socks that
thought you were saying, why would a man wear a garter with hose? That's because he's a tranny.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And I'm not talking about a car part.
Alyssa Quart is our special guest. Branded is the name of the book, The Buying and Selling of Teenagers. Sure has been fun having you on the show today, Alyssa.
Oh, it's been fantastic.
Well, we have one final segment, and we're going to end on the something I didn't tell you about during the pre-interview yesterday, Alyssa, called the three semi-personal questions, and we'll tell you about that in a minute. But just before the break,
she's going to hang up.
Yeah. Yeah. Just before the break, I mentioned about pressures in teenagers. You know, we've been reading and hearing a lot about teens today, and I don't know about you, Ray, but I don't remember any young girls that I was hanging around with between the ages of 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 saying, I need to go on a diet. You know, I'm not thin enough. And the kids nowadays, you know, buffing up and working out. And, it's just there are just so many more pressures on teens today than there were just, 20, 30 years ago.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that debt has become a real problem for kids. Those under 25 are the fastest growing group filing for bankruptcy. And students have an average of $2,400 a year in credit card debt. So,
wow.
You know, it's a lot of pressure just economically and in terms of, their bodies, their body images. 25% of young adults consider radical plastic surgery like lipo or breast augmentation.
Mm-hmm.
And the third most popular plastic surgery for girls is breast augmentation today.
Mm.
And by girls, I mean 18 and under. So,
wow.
It's not just about being thin. It's about, you know, being Brittany.
Which is really kind of odd, considering the fact that your body's not finished developing yet. Why in God's name would you want to do something like that at that age?
That is, you know, I know Ray was on the phone earlier today saying that to one of our callers. No, you know, Ray's a big supporter of breast augmentation, but usually just people over the age of 25, 30, and not younger mm-hmm. people. But, you know, that is crazy. I mean, so why weren't the children of yesterday getting these same messages? Is it because television and MTV and just media in general is so ubiquitous in getting these kinds of brand body images to young people today?
I think so, and I think there's also sort of this phenomena of kids getting older, younger, sort of premature adolescences. The Toy Manufacturers of America used to pitch dolls and stuffed animals to 14 and under, and now they pitch them to 10 and under. So that's just like one like very pithy example of the ways that, you know, a 9-year-old or 10-year-old will be thinking about their body sexually. Mm-hmm. As I mean, not thinking of life sexually, but they'll think about themselves as, you know, through the lens of sex symbols that they're seeing. And yeah, you could talk about media. You could talk about the prevalence of adults getting cosmetic surgery, you know, and I think that has really taken a toll, you know.
You know, this has been an interesting and very quick hour to cover teens, which is the first we have covered here on the Advertising Show in, 17 months, Ray.
Yeah, one quick question, too, before we go. What do you see in the next 5 to 10 years changing as far as marketing or branding, you know, marketing to teens?
Well, I definitely think it's slowing down the whole process. Obviously, a lot of the comedies I wrote about are not doing so well right now, like Delia's and Scholastic and, you know, these kind of they were rock solid a year ago. You know, they're now kind of quavering a little. So I think, but, you know, who knows about long-term changes? It seems so volatile right now, you know, politically and economically. I'm not sure about long-term. I, as I said before, I definitely think it's going to be a lot of video game product placement. There's going to be a lot of use of things like bots, you know, which are the things that, you know, they go online and advertise to kids online.
Right, right. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I think a lot of our audience may be asking, I've seen the inside cover of your book, and so I have an idea of your age, and you don't have to tell your age if you're not comfortable with it, but people are probably wondering, who is an author named Alyssa Quart? How is she capable of writing about teens? Is this, are you, how old are you?
I'm 30 years old.
Well, there you go. See, that was rude, Ray. And so how did you get this interest in wanting to target your topics on teens? Since you are a freelance writer, it could have been about anything.
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm planning another book that's also about youth, so I seem to be really interested in that moment when I think I'm really interested in the moment when a kid meets the outside world and says, "Oh, my parents are my parents are affluent or they're poor, and I have these powers or I don't," or that moment of self-consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has that moment when you're 11 or 12 or 13. You know, of awakening to yourself as a person in a world of, you know, politics and psychology and all sorts of things. And I'm fascinated to see that. I think it can be kind of magical, actually.
Well, that's interesting. Ray and I, when we were growing up, I know we were talking about before we came on the air, one of our images that we had of ourselves growing up was the Beverly Hillbillies, and I tended to pattern myself after Jethro, and Ray kind of patterned himself after Ellie Mae. But we all get our images somewhere. And
yes,
yeah,
we
right.
Do.
We all do, yeah.
Well, we got ours as a kid. I got my image from the Beatles. You know,
right.
That was a big thing.
Toys you play with, I played with G.I. Joe. You played with Betty Boop. So it's just two different generations.
Because she wouldn't play with you. Yeah, that's this is the part of the show, Alyssa, that we didn't tell you about.
Be honest, be crude, just don't get us sued, it's the Ad Show. 3 semi-personal questions of the week.
Thank you very much.
And of course,
don't forget to tip your waitress.
Yes, please.
And of course, you'll enjoy this. You will enjoy this.
We end every interview with our 3 semi-personal questions. We have 5 questions, Alyssa, ready for you to go and answer, but you can pass on 2 because there are only 3, but we ask them 1 at a time. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready.
True or false, you hired Gary Coleman as an undercover consumer to research your book.
False.
That's false. Okay. She said that was false, Ray.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's good. Let's go to a consumer version of a question. Is it true Levi's contacted you several years ago and you suggested a way to increase profits for Levi's was for them to cut holes in their jeans and use the extra denim to make more jeans with holes in them? That's false? That's false.
Let's go for another true or false one, okay? Let's go with this one.
Why don't you do that one?
Okay. Number four, there's a market research project, Alyssa. You invited several children over to your house to watch Michael Jackson specials in your bedroom.
False.
False?
That was the right answer, Alyssa.
Yes.
There you go.
Do you want a bonus round?
Yes, she does.
Yes.
Okay, here's a bonus question. True or false? You have a dog named Dude and a cat named Ecstasy.
False.
Yeah, that was...
All false.
Yeah, that's true. Well, don't say all false, because we might get the wrong impression.
Yeah. What would teens, or anyone, almost be most surprised to discover about Alyssa Quartz?
This is your final question.
My final question. Anybody?
Yes.
There are no right answers, or wrong.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, I'm flummoxed.
Oh, maybe that would be...
Oh, that I'm extremely goofy person.
Is that right?
Yeah, it is. It's true.
Looking at your picture in this book and having spent an hour with you, I would never have guessed that.
No, I know. I'm misleadingly earnest. But,
well, and you went to Brown University. Did you happen to be a classmate of Mr. Carter's daughter?
No.
Jimmy Carter's daughter?
No, but I
didn't she go to Brown?
But I just missed JFK Jr.
Oh, did you?
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amy Carter did go to Brown, didn't she?
She did. Yeah. I think she's a bit older.
Oh, she is.
And then she left to save the trees or whatever.
Right. In fact, she's still up in a tree somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
She's probably helping her dad.
Ray and I can't thank you enough. Alyssa, I really appreciate you joining us today. And teens, beware. You're about to be branded to. And thanks for joining us today, Alyssa.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thanks much. Branded, the buying and selling of teenagers. You'll find that book. You'll probably find it online, too, and your favorite bookstore, too.
Amazon.com.
Sure. And this is the Advertising Show. It's Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsythe. There's more, so stay with us here. This segment of the Advertising Show is being brought to you by the Hispanic Broadcasting Corporation, as we'll talk more about what's cooking in the advertising and marketing world. For instance, what is a toilet tour? Well, I guess we'll find out more in just a minute.
No.
Yes,
oh,
will.
No.
Stay with us. Business Radio 650 in Houston. It's a CBS Infinity station, and we go globally at theadvertisingshow.com. Stay right here.
You try soaking them out and scrubbing them out, and you can still come out with...
Ring around the collar!
Now try Whisk. Whisk out-cleans any other laundry product because it sinks in and starts to clean before you start to wash. Gets even permanent press collars really clean. You won't hear ring around the collar with Whisk.
Back on the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsythe here in Houston, CBS Infinity's Business Radio 650. And globally at theadvertisingshow.com. We're back. We had a good, nice time talking with Alyssa. Nice to get a chance to know a little bit more about where she's coming from with respect to branding to Gen Y.
Yeah.
So, this segment of the Advertising Show is brought to you by WB39. We had this one thing right before we teased about the toilet tour. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, what was that?
Here.
What was
that? Yes, exactly right.
I was visualizing since this is radio.
No, this is actually a really, really, really cool thing. According to Charmin, sales have been boosted 14% because of the toilet tour. It may be the ultimate side-by-side comparison brought to you by Procter & Gamble. And on one side, a row of typically wretched public toilets at last year's Oktoberfest in Cincinnati. On the other side, squeaky clean tractor-trailer mounted bathrooms complete with running water, wallpaper, faux wood floors, and plenty of Charmin toilet paper, Safeguard hand soap, Pampers changing tables, and Bounty paper towels.
All P&G.
Real cool trailer. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. The feedback was instant. The 30 Charmin-sponsored bathrooms had people lined up for 15 to 20 minutes when the regular portolets nearby were vacant.
Hmm.
The experience was typical, P&G says. At other stops on the Charmin Pottypalooza tour, which is within the past year, reached 2 million consumers at more than 20 events nationwide, including they were at the Super Bowl in San Diego. A P&G research, moreover, shows a 14% increase in Charmin sales among those consumers who have used the P&G facilities, leading the company to roll out a second Pottypalooza unit in 2003 at hopes of reaching twice as many events. I wonder if they have anything like that at the livestock show and rodeo.
Well, you know, research, there's a term called intercepts, which happens in malls and elsewhere where you go up to someone and you say, excuse me, may I ask you questions about whatever. It would have been interesting to see an intercept going on with that exiting of those toilets and have, you know, let's say a question like, now that you have been there, are you going to go home and order that one ply or do the more expensive Charmin? Oh, no, I'm going to stay with the cheap stuff at home. But here at the Lollapalooza.
Pottypalooza.
The Pottypalooza, yeah. That's an interesting concept. They put all P&G product in there.
Yeah,
and,
isn't that
great? I think it's a good idea.
Neat idea. Talk about it wasn't stealth marketing. It was just out and out good use of non-traditional media to get your message out.
If they were smart, they would go to golf clubs. And go and put those out.
Oh, you mean for golf tournaments?
Yeah,
and stuff
on
like
every
that.
Third hole or something. Keep you out of the woods. Bachelorette and Ray Charles are going to be teaming up to do a new milk commercial.
They are.
I say teaming up. They're not doing it together, but they're the two new entries. Trista, as we know, Trista, the star of ABC's The Bachelorette,
yes.
And, of course, legendary singer Ray Charles are the latest celebrities to jump onto the Got Milk bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Bozell, by the way, New York, who handles that. Trista will appear in a print effort that breaks this week in USA Today and then will appear in national magazines. And in her text of her ad, it reads, "The choice is simple." You know, get it, Bachelorette,
right,
the choice.
Gotcha.
I don't know about you, but having that white mustache on Trista after all that stuff we just saw in The Bachelorette may be a little risky. But Ray Charles joins the campaign as a radio push with a new song praising the attributes of milk. And I think he includes in his song, "It's a great refresher after a heroin binge." You know, Ray used to do some drugs, but he's off of them now.
I would hope so.
He's seen the light.
Here comes a lawsuit.
Yeah. get that disclaimer up, by the way.
No kidding.
His song goes like this. I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to do, like, remember those years ago that you'd have those guys on the, they do, like, albums, but they would talk them. They wouldn't sing them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk this one. I want to thank you, Mom, for giving me milk three times a day. I drink it at every waking moment. If I had my milk's way, 9 vitamins and minerals, give me strong bones, pearly whites too, for giving me milk, Mom, I thank you.
Oh, that's sweet. That's
you got nice. The right one, baby.
That's a hit.
Yeah. So anyway, we have Trista with the mustache.
Yeah.
And we don't want to get into that. And we got Ray, not you, Ray, but Ray Charles,
yeah, right.
Singing a little song about milk.
That's so wonderful.
Isn't it?
I'm glad to hear that.
And you know what's funny is they showed Ray Charles the picture of Trista.
Yeah.
Signed immediately for the campaign. Signed immediately for the campaign.
Well, here it is. You've got a direct line to God right now on your Italian telecom cell phone. Italian wireless subscribers now have daily religious and inspirational messages sent directly to their cell phones.
Oh.
Uh-huh. When Italy's largest cell phone operator unveiled the service with the blessings of the Vatican in January, why would they have to have the blessings of the Vatican? It caused its share of snickers among the general public, but a month into the program, Telecom Italia's mobile phone unit, TIM, has had the last laugh. Thousands of users have rushed to sign up for the program to receive messages in categories such as Gospel of the Day, Prayer of the Day, and Saint of the Day. Saint of the Day. That's interesting.
That is funny.
Tim, which already controls about 57% of the Italian cell phone market. Had you seen them over there by any chance when you were over there?
I've heard the name before, but no, I haven't been over to Italy in several years.
It said it sees the program as a new revenue stream from existing clients interested in the added value service. Also as a reason for the faithful to switch from Tim to the rival cell phone companies. So now, if you're in Italy, you have a direct line to God.
I will tell you, the
a cell phone.
You really feel the impact of Catholicism in Italy. You're reminded every hour when you hear the church bell ring, and mm-hmm. and it's a huge impact
so
over there.
You're hearing
in the
those
culture.
Bells in their ears.
I will bet that will work. Do you remember several months ago when you talked about you did a story on what would Jesus drive?
Yes.
I remember this because
the
pickup
truck.
I reviewed a CD the other day.
Carpenter.
It's rare that we listen to these shows that we do, just for the record, but I had a reason to review the Sergio Zeman show. I don't know how long ago that was. It's up there on our website. But anyway, was listening to you talk about the What Would Jesus Drive? And I remember we'd shared with Sergio Zeman, for those that may not know, former chief marketing officer of Coca-Cola, currently you can find Sergio, if you're interested, Zeman.com. But anyway, he's a brand guy now, and he's making all kinds of big dough. So we asked Sergio what he thought Jesus would drive, and he said, "I don't want to touch that." I threw out chariot or maybe a donkey, but he didn't think that was right.
Pickup truck.
But we break this kind of stuff on the show often, and many months ago you brought that up. Since then, I've heard both on radio and television commentators talking about this group that you identified that's all about trying to get people to not drive SUVs because they think that they think that it's using too much gas
and
Jesus wouldn't drive it. I want to comment on that.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at biblical scripture, Jesus, first of all, always had a crowd around him. So he's in an SUV, or maybe he's in a bus or an RV, okay, because he's got a crowd around him.
Right.
Secondly, he was always, or often, he had people around him that were not what you would call the most upstanding folks of society at that time. His message was that these are the people that need my help.
Right.
So I'm thinking, okay, so far it's an RV with darkened windows because they don't want anybody seeing who he's got it with him. And, you know, what would Jesus drive? Jesus is driving a large vehicle because he's always got a crowd with him.
You know, okay.
I mean, isn't he?
Sure.
And he's got a bunch of rowdy people in there that are trying to settle him down because they're, he's trying
everywhere.
To get their life straight.
You know, he made me think about something. We're talking about the RV. So this group is slamming people who drive the SUVs. What about the RVs? What about the RVs that get like 2 miles to the gallon?
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
Go RVing and fun terrorist activity.
Actually, they're starting the groundswell around the SUV and then it'll move up to the RV.
I don't want to create a problem with any listeners that might be driving RVs, but why do you have to drive through town in the middle of rush hour?
Right.
Why don't you guys stay at the campsite, wait for the rush hour to go by?
What I want to know is, why do you have an age requirement of being at least 68 years old or older to drive one of those?
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
We've got as a weekly feature here in the advertising show, Jeffrey Gittimer, quick takes on customer sales and relations and all that kind of good stuff. Jeffrey is, you can do that. Jeffrey is a great guy to have on the show and a lot of fun to talk to and in person as well. We'll be back. You know, last weekend it was the big blizzard on the East Coast, mm-hmm. and that did a lot of damage. What we'll do is I'll touch on that here in just a minute. The Advertising Show, Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsyth, and here comes Jeffrey Gittimer on CBS Infinity's Business Radio 650. Next.
Since we cousins haven't seen each other for 7 years, I hope you made a special dessert for our reunion.
Dessert?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't make dessert.
No dessert.
Instead, I made some fun.
Watch that wobble, see that wiggle, taste that jiggle, Jell-O brand, Jell-O.
It's back with you on the Advertising Show. There's a great brand, you know. It's described as fun. It's not described as sugar, color, and flavor,
exactly.
And water.
You're selling fun.
It's
there.
Jell-O.
Yeah,
the experience of having the stuff. Hey, this past week was, this is the Advertising Show, by the way, CBS Infinity's Business Radio 650. Online, we stream live at theadvertisingshow.com. So there, last week was President's Day. This past Monday was President's Day, mm-hmm. and a lot of folks sat off. Of course, you and I worked our buns off. But
we worked our vice presidents off.
Yes, we did. And we had, but last week on the East Coast was the big snowstorm,
right.
Big bad snowstorm. And, of course, what happens with a big bad snowstorm or any type of weather delay, business owners lose money because they run advertisements inviting people to come out and do, purchase stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they're closed. Mm-hmm. Retailers struggling with a flagging economy. Terrorist threats and the lurking war now find themselves buried under piles of inventory left over on the shelves as a result of this past weekend's snowstorm. A historic storm ripped across the whole northeastern quadrant of the country, shutting down cities and highway systems under as much as 30 inches of snow on Monday, President's Day, even as vacant vast numbers, that is, of consumers were unable to move from their homes. Millions of dollars in special TV, radio, newspaper advertising campaigns beckoned them to one-day holiday sales in stores and malls that were closed by the storm. So basically, they burned a lot of bucks. And here's the only thing. It was pretty much, as one person said, it was pretty much money that's gone poof. The only stores that may have rung up a few extra sales, supermarkets and other outlets for last-minute supplies, such as milk, butter, batteries, and duct tape.
Yes,
so
of course.
Get that duct tape.
You know, that is fun. That's interesting, because once you get your schedule in place, you don't have any, you know, heads up on that. So.
Let's talk about print. The newspapers that never even got delivered because of the storm, too.
Good point.
I mean, these people never even saw the ads.
Now, I wonder if contractually you would be required to pay your spot or your newspaper ad in a paper that didn't get delivered. Isn't that the same thing as a TV station going black and your spot not airing?
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
We'll call somebody at the New York Times, Stuart Elliott. Hey, real quickly, Raygold Confections. You're a golfer. You'll like this, Ray. Raygold Confections out of Chicago, makers of Surreal, Dilbert Mints, and Private Label Confections, will partner with the PGA Tour to create golf ball mints. Now, these candies are shaped like little mini golf balls.
I was going to say, are they as big as a golf ball? No, because that'd be a chore getting one into somebody's mouth.
Little mini golf balls with dimples. I assume they're talking about the golf balls.
Yeah.
The peppermint and cinnamon flavors will be packed also in, of course, what? A tin.
Golf that, bag or that, something?
Well, they're resembling, actually the tin will resemble a golf ball.
I see.
And it'll have the PGA Tour. So, you know, when you're sucking on one of these things and you want to wash that funky mint taste out of your mouth, you need to get an Amstel Light, because they will also be the official beer of the PGA America. Second straight year, giving Heineken brand pouring rights at all the events and using, of course, the PGA logo. The PGA Tour, you know this, represents 27,000 club professionals and conducts the Ryder Cup. I'm going to leave one out to see if you can fill this in. Ryder's Cup. Ryder Cup. That's the. I was talking about a horse event. Ryder Cup, PGA Tour, PGA Championship, the Senior PGA Championship, and the
Masters.
PGA Grand Slam of Golf.
Yes. Okay.
Is there a Masters in there, too?
Well, that'd be the Masters.
Oh, it's
the
same thing?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I got you.
That's funny. They've changed the name of the Senior PGA Tour to the Champions Tour.
Oh, really?
To try to get some younger folks out there to watch these old guys play golf.
Oh, no, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's called the Senior PGA Championship.
Yes.
So instead of the Seniors Tour, because you're thinking you're watching a bunch of washed-up golfers is what you're thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And some guys that never made it on the PGA Tour that didn't win anything, and now they're playing in the Senior Tour.
I've heard that.
Kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Okay. But the Senior Tour was a good idea, still is a good idea, and I'm not sure that Cadillac is still involved in that, but it would be a good idea if they moved on to something else.
This is one of these things that are, you know, truth is harder to believe than fiction.
Yes.
An ex-YNR employee sues over a homeless guy ad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So a former account coordinator at Young & Rubicam has filed a lawsuit accusing the agency of defaming and humiliating him by pairing his name with an image of a homeless alcoholic and a print ad for the United Negro Fund. The ad, which ran in the New York Times on February 8, 2002, depicts an unkempt black man sitting on a wooden crate and holding a liquor bottle. Superimposed over his face is a high school yearbook photo and the name Larry Botts. And the plaintiff, Larry Botts, who is a white left who is a white man, left Young & Rubicam on February 8, 2001, a year before the ad appeared, and apparently he has been unemployed ever since. He claims that the ad has hurt his ability to find work, according to the Newark Star-Ledger, who reports on this. And the suit points out that Larry Botts is not a common name.
It's not.
You know, in a lot of cases, ad agencies, and I know this That's because not. It's happened before. If you're an ad agency and you're creating something and you want to use a real name, you pick a family member or a secretary's, father or whatever,
right.
And you'd use that thinking that, you know, you don't have to worry about getting sued. But in this case, apparently it may have been a name they decided to use because they made fun of this guy before he got fired. And they said, well, let's use Larry Botts' name.
Poor old Larry.
But, of course, Larry is sitting there going, wait a minute, McDonald's sued for making kids fat?
Yeah.
I need a lawyer.
I need to get him, yeah.
I need a lawyer. They depicted me as a black guy that's homeless. I know I'm white. It doesn't matter. Let's go to court.
Okay, Larry, try monster.com. I'm sure there's a place out there for you, pal. Online. This is kind of cool. If you want to market to to the female demographic and
who
buy
doesn't?
Stuff.
Who doesn't?
Although it's still viewed as many as a narrow slice of the online market, in the 50.1 million U.S. residents who access the Internet at work, maybe the web's real motherlode, according to a new report by Wall Street Journal online.
Motherlode and marketing to women. Now, why
yes,
would you
exactly.
combine those two?
I do not know. Ask Toby Elkin of the AdAge.com, okay? This just-released market analysis entitled An Elephant in the Room, the Online At-Work Audience Promotes the Idea That At-Work Users Are Being Ignored by Marketers Who Don't Understand Their Purchasing Clout. Report mixes original research and an amalgamation of previous research to paint a detailed picture of at-work users as the most affluent, savvy, and eager group of online U.S. consumers. So, you know, if you want to get the message out and you're thinking about something like that, that would be a good way to take advantage of new media effectively.
I think if you market online, you're at least assured of some affluency and some above average education.
Sure.
That would be my guess.
Yeah.
If I were to say underwear, and if I were to say advertising for underwear, any particular brand come to mind, Ray?
Hanes.
Not Joe Boxer.
No, Hanes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about Joe Boxer.
Oh, good. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, and by the way, did you see the Hanes spot? We reported many months ago about Hanes coming up with this the tagless T-shirt.
Right.
And then you saw during the Super Bowl they had that spot on with with our famous basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
Yao Ming.
No, Chicago Bears, former Chicago
Mini
Bear.
Me.
Yeah. No, Michael.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Jackson.
Anyway, Kmart's dancing Joe Boxer guy. Joe Boxer.
Yeah.
Not Boxer, that's a Porsche. Anyway, they have a website where you can go play with Joe Boxer.
Play with Joe Boxer?
Yeah, it's a computer game, and it's at kmartboxer.com.
Okay.
And it's a thing that's driving a bunch of kids there, and they're being able to click over different things and have him dance, and it's a funny thing, but I can't go into it in less than 45
that's
seconds.
That's a neat idea, and that goes along with the special guest that we had today.
Sending the people to online to connect more with the brand.
Yep. Next Saturday is March the 1st, and our guest this coming Saturday, a week from today, is Shara White, author of New Ideas About New Ideas.
That's a great idea.
And president of SPWI Group. Where is she going to be?
You know, I'm not sure.
Okay,
I'll have to check.
She's going to find out next week.
Actually, she'll be on line one.
The Advertising Show is sponsored by the Houston Business Journal, Strictly Houston, Strictly Business, and by Zoito, the future of fulfillment. This is a Big Radio Midgets production.